You're listening to the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network at inthisleague.com. Download, lock in, and puck up. Hockey is here, and we've got the number one podcast for fantasy hockey. It's the Roto Hockey Show with your hosts, Tony Healy and Brian Matthews.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Hello and welcome to the Roto Hockey Show. I'm Tony Healy here with Brian Matthews, ready to talk a little fantasy hockey. Jeez, Brian, what a long year.
Fantasy hockey, what is that?
I know, right?
It's been forever.
Episode 126. Time is just flying by. The playoffs are in full swing. We're in the second round now.
Second round, there are some awesome matchups. Unfortunately, a lot of these matchups we would like to see in the conference finals, but the way that the cookie crumbled this year, it's like divisional matchups that are usually like the big ones at the to pick who's going to the cup. So, it's been fun.
Listen,
good hockey being played.
They say that, but I've been looking forward to Jets Knights since the playoffs.
Yeah, that actually would be a lot of fun. So,
and even in the East, Pittsburgh. Yeah. Well, I guess I shouldn't count Washington.
Caps, man. Don't count the Caps out. They look good.
This is the year. Ovi gets to 49, not 50, but wins the cup.
Okay. That'll do. So we haven't talked. How you been?
Not too bad. In fact, I got to think.
What is that I hear?
That is a beer that was sent to us by one of our amazing listeners, Rob Beach.
A longtime friend of the podcast, longtime patron.
That's right. He sent me a 12-pack of beer from DC Brow. This is the.
See, we're talking about the Caps, and you break that out.
Nice. That's right. See?
That's called a good segue. Totally unplanned, by the way.
It was. I just want to say, Rob, thank you for the beer. And I got to tell you, the cans got here. They were a little worse for the wear, but that's okay. I don't mind drinking out of a dented beer can. But I guess it's kind of fitting because these beers are getting crushed now.
Oh. Well, I mean, if you're going to be drinking over there, then there we go. All right. I'll join you. What the hell? This is the benefits of the Brian Matthews bunker is that beer is never far out of reach. And you know what? I'm celebrating over here, Tone. I've got the, for the first time in a long time, we've got the Buffalo Sabres beer koozie holding on to my suds.
Oh, you and your number one pick.
Yeah, Rasmus Dahlin. Yeah. He's coming. We have the Rasmi now.
The Rasmus squared. what else can we come up with? The twin Rasmuses.
The flying Rasmuses.
The flying Rasmuses. There you go.
That was an interesting Saturday night.
It was last weekend,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was too late. It was way too late. It was dumb.
The whole thing, how they did it, was dumb. And the worst was made because you and I, both our favorite teams, were the top three, and you had to sit there and drag that out. I was as if I wasn't tense enough about the whole thing.
I know, but at least we were watching Knights Sharks, which is decent.
That's true.
It's been good hockey.
It has been good hockey, and it's funny because they could easily be way down in that series, and it's knotted up, and they play tonight, right? So it'll be good to watch.
It will be.
It'll be good to watch. Fantasy-wise, folks in the playoff pool still alive, still out there. We've still been doing daily. Mm-hmm. So it continues, like you said. So we're here. We're finally in the month of May. Another pod. We're going to go ahead and do the fantasy MVPs, all-stars. What do we want to call it? We did the all-stars mid-year. So what do we want to call this?
End of the year awards.
Yeah, end of the year awards. And we'll talk about some of the playoff performers. We've done that in the past. Guys we've seen in the first two rounds that maybe their stock's gone up a little, or talk about guys who have been disappointing. And we can announce that we are going to have the way too early mock draft in a couple weeks.
That's
and
right.
So we need to get folks, patrons, you get first dibs. And when there's no doubt we're going to fill that.
Oh,
so
easily.
I have a feeling we're going to end up doing two.
We should do two.
We really should.
It's crazy. Like, I love the way too early mock drafts. And actually, if you look,
We can do one with our patrons. We can do one a different setup with other listeners, and then we can decide which one we want to make as the podcast.
Yeah, I think that that's probably what we're going to end up having to do, because this thing is going to go. I'm telling you, this is going to fill up fast. So they want a shot at it. Become a patron.
Do you think I'll be able to get Taylor Hall in the 7th round?
Maybe if I can get Connor Hellebuyck in the 16th.
God, folks were going through some of the ADPs and some of the draft results from earlier this year to take a look at some of the best value picks, and it's crazy to see where guys went. If you want to enjoy just a good half hour, you might not enjoy it. You may end up just like banging your head against a desk, but in between like periods during the first or second intermission of a game, grab the laptop, open it up to your fantasy hockey league, go to draft results, and just go through and look where guys went. It's a fun exercise, I have to admit.
It is absolutely amazing, but I think we need to get moving here. So, folks,
let's go.
Folks, if you're listening to the podcast, you likely found us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or through our partners, the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. Hopefully you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you use. And please don't forget to submit reviews if you love our show. It really helps us move up the charts. The higher up the charts we are, the more giveaways and the better stuff we can do for you. So please rate and review the show if you get a chance.
Yeah, we actually had a really good one on Stitcher that we got at the end of the year. I happen to notice. I just was going on and looking at some of our stuff, making sure all the feeds were accurate, pulling some links for some behind the scenes stuff that we're doing. But all of a sudden I saw that we had a new review there, and it was excellent. And I wish I had it in front of me to give the guy credit, but good stuff. So yeah, leave it. We'll find it. We'll give you a shout out. We do have to compile some of the ones we got at the tail end of the year. I know we had a lot of folks reach out to us individually to thank us for helping them this year, whether they won their league or not. So we appreciate all of that. So good stuff.
Yes. All right, Brian, you know what? It's the season's over, but we're getting ready to do stuff for next year, right?
Yes.
And there's just people out there and they're not sure what to do. So they have questions.
You know what? We still, even though it's May, we still have answers.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right.
It has been a while to set up a mailbag.
I know. And it's nice. Right. We did it backwards this time. It's fantastic.
That is good. Maybe we should change that up. All right. You ready for this?
Yep.
But this one is an international question. This comes to us all the way from Scandinavia. And Jake sends this one in. He says he's in no rush, which thank you, Jake, because it's been a couple weeks, but we promised you we'd answer it on air. So he is in a, quote, slow grow head-to-head keeper league where they are only keeping 4+2, and the +2 are rookies. So each year they can add an extra 2 rookies to their team and go forth like that. So here is his team as it stood at the end of the year. Are you ready?
Give it to me.
All right. The problem is that we don't know. It doesn't matter round or auction value here. I'm guessing it's round, but it doesn't matter because he didn't supply them. The league settings, standard, no PIMs, but they do have blocks and hits. So kind of a banger league minus PIMs. All right. Here's his team. Nazem Kadri, Jeff Carter, David Krejci, James Van Riemsdyk, Jamie Benn, Alex Galchenyuk, David Pasternak, Alex Radulov, Joe Pavelski, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Torrey Krug, Alex Pietrangelo, Alex Edler. Yes, nice. Good. Ryan Pulock, Tyson Berry, Patrick Laine, Josh Bailey, Derek Stepan, Charlie Coyle, Riley Nash, Sean Monahan, Brock Besser, and then the goaltending situation, Tuukka Rask, Kari Lehtinen, Jussi Saros. I like what he did there with the goalies.
Mm-hmm.
See that? All right. He's going with all countrymen there.
Yeah. I don't know if Kari Lehtinen is somebody that should be owned, but.
Yeah. All right. So here are his quick. So you go 4-2. He's thinking Lonnie and Pasternak are a given, which I would agree with that.
Yep.
So he needs two other veterans. And then for his rookies, he's leaning Besser and Saros, but he's not completely sold on Saros as his second rookie. So what say you? He needs two additional veterans off of this list.
Well,
and then a potential rookie.
It's tough because you look at a guy like Jamie Benn and you say he's got to be a definite keeper, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you roll down here and you're like, okay, so who's the next guy? Are you going to keep a defenseman like Krug or Larson or even Tyson Barrie possibly?
Petrangelo?
Yeah, exactly. But
I mean, both those guys had solid second halves. So
they really did. But Pavelski is one of those guys that just puts up numbers every year.
Well, then a little further down that list, and he was banged up this year and still was productive when he did play, but dealt with a ton of injuries with Sean Monahan.
Given
his age, do you hope that you get a bounce back out of him? I don't want to overthink this, so I would say Jamie Benn and Pavelski as my other two.
So you're going all
forwards.
But
you could talk me out of Pavelski and talk me into Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I think so.
I think he's the best of the defensemen. I like all those defensemen.
Listen.
You can make a case for Krug or Petrangelo, but I just like Larsson. Out of that group.
But looking at what's
I'm
left.
I'm not keeping the goalies. I like Tuukka, but the other two you can throw back.
Yeah. I mean, I look at what's left here on his team, and there's got to be other people in this league that need keepers, and he should be able to upgrade that second rookie keeper.
Well, he made that point because Saros is he only has three rookies, Pulock being the other one, and the issue is that he's going to keep Saros unless he can make a move before the deadline to get himself a different rookie. And I 100% would do that just based on the names on your team. Obviously, not all of them can be kept. Maybe you can float a defenseman to get a better defenseman. Maybe you can find takers for Pavelski or for Ben or for Radulov, Monahan, and then find that other defenseman or find that other rookie there.
Yeah, absolutely. And make sure that you shake all the trees with your studs left. If you can't get a rookie for him and you do keep Saros, that's fine. But try and move up and get draft picks at the very least. Increase your draft order. Try and move up that way. You've got plenty of talent on this roster to be able to do something like that for sure.
Yeah, I think even in a situation, go look at the rosters of the other teams. See who's hurting at forward or see who needs like a top-tier defenseman and make your offer that way. Or see who might be in the market for a goalie that maybe they want Saros as their rookie. I mean, I know it's tough when he's playing behind Pekka Rinne, a perennial Vezina Trophy candidate. So, but yeah, there's deals to be made. I think your four are solid. Go find yourself an extra rookie and you'll be good. So good luck with that, Jake.
All right. Now let's get into some meat and potatoes here, Brian.
Yes, it's been a while. What do we got for the main segment? What are we going to do? We're talking end of the season awards. It's kind of a fun show. We're just going to talk some puck, go through some of the fantasy guys that were kind of all sorts of awesomeness this year, as our buddy Steve Laidlaw would say.
All sorts.
We should probably say a couple guys that were like on the all bus team too.
Oh man, I feel like that's a pretty long that list.
It is, but we can come up with a quick one.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right,
get us going.
First up, let's. You know what? Instead of starting with the big one, right? The heart. Let's work our way from the bottom to the top. All right. Let's go top value pick this year.
All right. I like that.
Okay. I said his name earlier in this podcast. I love Connor Hellebuck for this pick.
Yeah.
He was going.
I mean, if you remember, he wasn't even the starter coming out of camp.
Steve Mason.
And I know that you know this, and I know it, but he was either last or bottom four of my goalie rankings, and I know you had him just outside your top goalie rankings. and justifiably so. It was, he had a shaky end of last year, didn't perform particularly well in training camp, and kind of fell. And it was like, you know what? The people who added him, in my estimation, when I ranked him, was Winnipeg's a good team. Mason's been hurt. Should he go down, Hellebuck is a decent option, not knowing what he would turn himself into, which is a Vezina finalist
top
this
two
season. So
fantasy rated goalie this year. He, yeah, for most settings, he's number two right behind Pekka Rene.
Yeah, just absolutely. And if you look at the goalies who were drafted early this year, again, we talk about that it's a crapshoot every single season. You talk about Carey Price. You talk about Cam Talbot. And then you look at even Holtby struggled this year. And Matt Murray was injured for a good chunk of the year again. Devin Dubnyk wasn't what you expect. And then you've got Corey Schneider not really living up to his billing where he went. The list goes on. I mean, there were really some bad ones. And
yeah,
you get to the middle of the road, and that was really, it was a crazy year for goaltenders. And you had a lot of backups that ended up being successful. Carter Hutton, Philip Grubauer, Aaron Dell for a while before he turned back into Aaron Dell.
Yeah. It's so, goaltending is that guessing game. It seems like every year, because the top turns over, and when it does, it turns over fast.
Yeah. And let's talk about, I mean, you're going to talk about Hellebuck. Let's talk about another ridiculously good fantasy value for goaltenders, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody was so down on Vegas, me included. I didn't see this. I didn't think they were going to be the worst team in the league. I honestly didn't. I didn't have them finishing there, but I thought they'd be bottom five. And I thought Marc-Andre Fleury would be a decent goaltender because his averages would be okay, because he'd see just tons and tons of shots. Well, Vegas turns into one of the best possession teams in the NHL. They win some of the most games. Fleury is still one of the best goaltenders. Unreal. I love Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah. And again, you could have had him for a song this year. I mean, he just fell
25th, 26th draft after.
Yeah, easily. And again, one of his teammates, probably the best value forward this year, along with, I think, our rookie of the year. And I think our best value forward, who certainly is in the discussion for fantasy MVP, but Wild Bill.
Wild Bill Carlson.
I mean, if you look at the numbers that he put up, I mean, talk about completely out of left field. And I guarantee in most leagues, he went in all but the deepest leagues. I'd say even in 12-team leagues, he was undrafted.
No, I would dare to say almost even in 14-team leagues, he went undrafted until the drafts that went closer to the start of the season, because we didn't know where he was going to be playing.
No. To think that you had Vadim Shipachyov being drafted as high as like the 10th round in spots. And then he played, what, not even a month before he bailed and his agent got him released from Vegas, and the rest is history. And, I mean, Wild Bill, 43 goals, 35 assists.
Third in the league in goals. It's unreal.
Yeah.
It really, really
He was a plus 49, and you know how we feel about plus minus, but the fact that you're a plus 49 is just unreal. So again, huge value there for someone that really, again, undrafted in pretty much every league that I was a part of.
You know,
I can say that without a problem.
It's funny that you say that he's a plus 49. He led the league in plus minus by 13, plus 13. But you know who number two was?
Number two in plus minus. I'm going to guess Pastrnak or Marchand.
Jonathan Marchessault with a plus 37.
Yeah, I should have guessed his teammate.
Yep. Yeah. It's
another value pick. I mean, again, I think any of those guys, Marchessault's another one. I know he was owned in spots, but again, he's someone being picked in the teens easily.
Yeah. All right.
What are we moving to? That was the top value pick. So let's go to the Bill Masterton How do you spell that?
Masterson.
Masterson. Yeah, there we go. Jeez. Brr, sure, brr, 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 brr.
It's only May. Right.
Swedish chef over here.
Scurby,
comeback player of the year. We have down on the sheet Dustin Brown or Nathan McKinnon. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be McKinnon, yeah?
But
McKinnon is still, he's got the pedigree, right? Dustin Brown, you just figure, you're done, hang him up.
Hang him up, you're done. McKinnon, like, remember, we were talking about getting him at great value in the 14th round.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going 12th, 13th, 14th round. It's absolutely bonkers when you think about it. Yeah. But when you look at the season overall that Dustin Brown had, you get a little surprised. I don't know what else to say. I mean, if you include penalty minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Brown, let's see, where is he? Dustin Brown had one of the better years in the NHL. I mean, fantasy purposes. No,
right.
We're not talking, you know, top 10 in scoring here, but he did very, very well. I just am having an issue trying to find him. There he is. All right. He finished the season at Yahoo ranked 33rd overall in leagues with penalty minutes. 28 goals, two shy of 30, 33 assists, 58 penalty minutes, 15 power play points, 189 hits. I mean, he really filled up a lot of stat sheets, and that's a very useful player that you got, like you said, for a song and a dance, maybe in the 17th, 18th round, if drafted at all.
Yeah, a lot of guys like that, that just somehow pass production. You get this every year, and we joke about it during the mock drafts. We joke about it during the rankings, where the shiny new toy in the box, people forget about kind of the – some players have a higher floor. I get that younger players are going to have the higher ceiling, but you'll have some of these veterans who have a higher floor and are going to be a little more steady and – should the team work out? And again, Dustin Brown and Kopitar this year, fantastic. Kopitar is a finalist for MVP this year. So obviously part of Dustin Brown's resurgence is tied to Kopitar's play this year as well. So
Dustin Brown put up 222 shots as well.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time that's happened?
Right.
I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He's the only player in the NHL to put weight on and actually get faster.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. But if I'm looking at it, I think McKinnon's probably the pick. I think he had the greatest leap out of anybody.
I mean, there was a stretch there, what, January, February? I mean, it was
Hart Trophy race.
Right. I mean, he had I pull his numbers up and look at what he was able to do. I think he had to be like a 10 game point streak or 8 game goal streak. It was some crazy. It was like Kucherov. Like if we all remember how Kucherov was at the beginning of the year, that was McKinnon middle of the season. And I do feel bad for McKinnon. One goal short of 40, three points short of 100.
Yeah. In 74 games.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was – well, that's like Marshawn last year ending just short of 40 because he got suspended at the end of the year.
Terrell Hall this year, close.
Right, right. A few of those.
I still can't believe Kucherov didn't hit 40. I'm just saying.
You start off – it's tough to maintain that type of pace month, let alone a season. I mean, he was – if you would have said that he didn't hit 40 or 100 points back at Christmas, I would have told you were crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm like, what? No, that's impossible.
All right, next trophy is a pretty easy one, the Rocket Richard Trophy. And that's no surprise. Alexander Ovechkin with 49 goals. I don't think there's much else to talk about there. Let's go to the Selke Trophy, the top stat sheet filler for the season.
All right.
Where do you want to go here?
Hey, well, first I want to give a shout out to my man, Wayne Simmons. He's usually the person who's going to win this award.
I can't even talk about it. Like, I don't know if I can get the words out of my mouth.
No, we'll do it for you because he's my boy. So I'm happy to talk about this, but it comes out last week that he just had an absolute absurd amount of injuries that he played through this year that, again, no one knew. Obviously banged up, obviously not himself this year if you look at his production. But here's what it looked like. On the injury list most of the year with, quote, lower body injury is how they did it. But what that means is that Wayne Simmons had a broken ankle and played through it. He also suffered a tear in his pelvis, which led to him pulling his groin. And then he tore ligaments in his right thumb and kept going and played 75 games.
All right. Bye. Drink to Wayne Simmons.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, tis but a scratch.
If anybody ever says hockey players aren't the toughest athletes, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, that's just unbelievable. I mean, think about just one of those injuries. He played through all of them.
If I had one of those injuries.
They obviously missed some time, but sheesh.
If I had one of those injuries, I'm not sure I'd play beer league again, let alone NHL for the rest of the year.
You know, it's like, I'm going to go ahead and sit out the year. Ugh. Well, you get guys who came out, who was it? Couturier this year sprains his MCL. And they're like, yeah, if this was during the regular season, we probably would have either had surgery or kept him out a month. He missed like two games or one game. Mm-hmm. And I blew out my MCL and I can tell you what it feels like. And I can tell you to come back days later is otherworldly.
You know, in fairness, you did keep skiing on it that day.
I did ski on it the rest of the day.
Well, the rest of the day. Till
a
lunch.
Couple hours.
till
like
lunch.
That first thing in the morning.
Till lunch, two beers, and then you were like, I can't stand.
It doesn't work anymore. I can't put any weight on it.
Something happened, and it's not good.
So to take that and then to skate on it 3 days later, 4 days later, nuts. Just
bonkers.
Nuts. And you see that all the time. I know it happened to Evander Kane a couple years ago, and he missed I think it was 2 weeks, and that's like maybe 4 or 5 games, but missed 2 weeks because of it. And that was a mild strain, quote unquote.
All right. So top stat sheet filler.
Yeah.
We talked about Wayne Simmons, the perennial all-star in this.
Yeah.
I love what Dustin Byfuglien did this year. Can we just talk about stat sheet filling with him?
Yeah.
112 penalty minutes for Dustin, 147 hits, 100 blocks, 193 shots on goal. That's to go along with 8 goals, 37 assists, and 22 power play points. That's a really good season.
Yeah.
Did I mention that was in 69 games?
No, but you just did.
Yeah, 69 games. Dustin Byfuglien put all that up. Yeah. Thank God he was there for your playoffs. He did hurt early in the season when he was injured, but you look at those things to have triple digits in penalty minutes, hits, blocks, and almost 200 shots on goal is amazing. Some of the other guys that had triple digits in shots, hits, and blocks, Chris Letang, believe it or not.
Yeah, look at him.
Victor Hedman, who put up way more points than Dustin Byfuglien. So he definitely is somebody that fits here.
Right.
And then you have some forwards like Evander Kane, who had 300-something shots on goal.
Tons of
hits.
Yep.
He just doesn't block a ton. Same thing with Dustin Brown. Bunch of hits, bunch of shots on goal, but doesn't block a ton of shots. But those guys, I mean, you look at all those guys, and outside of Hedman and Byfuglien, I mean, even Letang was drafted lower this year because of his injury issues.
Yeah.
But Evander Kane, I mean, people slept on him because he just didn't play a lot, you know, in the last few years. He just wasn't. And then he started the season on fire. And Dustin Brown, we can't beat that dead horse anymore. So, I mean, is there anybody else that you can think of that we missed? I don't know. I think we're
Alex Edler.
Alex Edler, yes.
Kidding.
Alex Edler just didn't
Let's look at his second half numbers, and he would compare. If he did that over a full season, he definitely would be in that convo. But no, there's a bunch of guys, and we certainly talk about a lot of them. But the big boys,
Jeff Petrie. That's one we didn't talk about.
Yeah,
Jeff Petrie put up 178 shots on goal, 167 hits, 138 blocks, along with 23 power play points, 52 points total, or 42 points total with 12 goals. I mean, that's pretty huge. A lot of defensemen. But like you said, Alex Edler, and we should say, I mean, 172 shots, 157 hits, and most importantly, 203 blocks.
Crazy.
Definitely deserves to be on this list. 15 power play points and 34 points overall with six goals. I mean, these guys are the guys that win you weeks.
Yeah.
They really, really do.
We said it all year about those types of guys and finding those and looking for those types of trends with players that year after year are putting up those types of numbers. And they might not have the flashy goals or the biggest names, but they're the guys that win you leagues, win you weeks, and are going to be really the savvy picks that you make in your drafts that are going to really mean the difference between winning and losing. Not to sound cliched. Too late. Too late. Too late. The difference between winning and losing.
That's it. If you're going to use one, though, you might as well use that one.
That's true.
Doesn't get much better than that.
No, that was a good one. Thank you.
All right. Since we talked about a bunch of defensemen, maybe we should talk about the Norris. And you could really go a few different directions with this Norris Trophy. Brent Burns, he's definitely there.
I mean, you remember where we were with him at Christmas time, too. I mean, it was where is Brent Burns?
It was unreal.
I forgot I had to play.
Yeah. Finished with 67 points with 12 goals, 27 power play points, 332 shots on goal, only 79 hits and 136 blocks. I don't even know what to say. I mean, he had 46 penalty minutes as well, but that's a lot of points. And he didn't even lead defensemen in points this year.
Yeah.
John Carlson did. But John Carlson had less hits, less shots on goal, and only 10 more blocks. Victor Hedman, man, again, we talked about it. He had more points. Did he have more points? No, he had 63 points on the season.
Yeah.
26 on the power play, 216 shots on goal, 139 hits, and 110 blocks. He's got to be up there. I mean, you look at Victor Hedman's season, Brent Burns, John Carlson, Dustin Byfuglien.
I'd love to throw my boy Klingberg in there, but just – only 8 goals, not doing it, barely any hits, only 44 hits on the year. So can't go there. Doughty actually had a really good year. I mean, you talk about stat sheet. I mean, 10 goals, 50 assists, over 200 shots on goal, 127 hits, 128 really blocks good. Is actually an awesome year. And there's a few other guys that just, you know, you look at two of the Toronto defensemen in Gardner and Morgan Riley. Each of them with 50 plus points this season. But again, very few hits out of those guys. I think it really has to boil down between Burns and Hedman, but the difference just being the amount of shots that Brent Burns take, 120 more shots than Hedman. So I think that makes up for the having half as many hits, you know.
It's unreal.
Just because I think the hits are easier to find on the wire when you're doing the Sunday streamers and finding guys to just fill in.
I mean,
Brent
Burns finished third in the league in shots on goal behind Ovi and Tyler Seguin. I mean, to get that
from, it's just everything at the net. Everything.
To get that from a defenseman is insane. The next closest defense was Dougie Hamilton with 270. Yeah. So, I 60 more shots is insane. So, Brent Burns is the guy that I think, but I don't think going Victor Hedman, you can go wrong there either. Seth Jones, that's another guy that we didn't talk about. Great value pick this year too. I mean, this kid is just
huge value pick. And like you said, second in the league behind the three-way tie atop with Provorov, Hamilton, and Hedman. Seth Jones tied with Pernell Carl, Aaron Ekblad, and Zach Werenski with 16 goals. So, again, over 50 points, 250 shots on goal, just solid All player. Right. And hopefully someone that's going to kind of take his game to the next level. You hate to see these guys get here and then fall off.
You know, it's very depressing that I was in the four-sport league, right? And my fantasy hockey roster was amazing. I had Seth Jones as one of my lottery picks in the NHL rookie draft. He was on my rookie team, sitting there, can't wait for his breakout season to come. And then the stupid league folded before this year.
Oh.
Not happy about it. Not happy. That minor league roster was stacked. I had so many amazing players that broke out this year I didn't get to use.
Yeah.
It happens. It happens to the best of us. Okay, moving on to the Art Ross Trophy. Yep. That's the total points in the NHL. That's easy. Connor McDavid.
I think that was obvious that was going to happen, and it did. I think it was going to come down between him and Crosby yet again, and no surprise who's there left standing at the end of the year. So any surprises on that? I mean, there are some surprises, but who surprised you the most on the
Nathan McKinnon at 97, Taylor Hall at 93.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anze Kopitar at 92.
I think Kopitar and Claude Giroux are the ones.
Yeah.
That
Giroux
really,
at 102 is definitely a big surprise.
It's like, oh wow, where the hell did you come from? And
68 assists, man.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. But Nathan McKinnon, his 97 points were in 74 games. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I tell you, if we can get a full season from this kid at this level, watch out. He could definitely lead the league in scoring for sure. All right, that's going to bring us to the Calder Trophy, which we all thought Brock Besser going, what, three quarters of the way through the year?
Right. Yeah, it was a very unfortunate and ugly injury, cutting his season short. But I mean, you look at kind of where it ended up, and it was pretty clear it was Matthew Barzal at the end of the year, and ended up not only leading rookies by 20 points, he played all 82 games. Clayton Keller, a lot of people had him targeted for the Calder Trophy this year. Second with 65 points. I think third place and fourth place are really – third place was a guy that was on my like kind of super sleeper list. I mean, we talk about sleepers and guys that you're going to take late in drafts and make sure they're on your team. Then there's like those really like
– You talked about him. I don't know. You did. You talked about him.
I did. It was like, you know, it was – these are guys to keep an eye on. Should they get a chance? Should you see them produce? Be ready to grab them. And Yanni Gourde was definitely one of those guys. And you know what it was? Is you look at the production that he had in Syracuse last year in the AHL and then in the AHL playoffs. And it just – look at that now, folks. Those playoffs are going on now. So
third.
See what teams are doing well and check that out. He finished third in rookie scoring with 64 points, 25 goals going into the year. And then Kyle Connor, another player we talked about, eclipsed 30 goals in his rookie season and only played 76
games.
The
only rookie to eclipse 30 goals this year, Kyle Connor. Also,
I mean, unbelievable. Besser finished with 29 in only 62 games. So missing 20 games. I mean, he had a shot for 40. Let's be honest.
He did. I mean, he was almost at a point per game. But you look at Yanni Gourde. One last thing on Yanni Gourde. You know, we talked about plus minus. Guess who was number three in the entire NHL in plus minus?
Yeah, plus 34 is robust.
Yanni Gourde as a rookie.
Yeah.
All right.
Impressive stuff.
There are some big time names that are ready to make a big time impact next year. If you look,
you go through that list. You just look at rookie scoring tone, and you take a quick glimpse through. Even when you're talking about guys like Alex DeBrincat, the Blackhawks, 28 goals. He played all 82 games. Nico Hischier wasn't sure what he was going to do coming out of camp. Ends up as the top center in New Jersey, skating alongside Taylor Hall, plays all 82 games, 52 points, 20 goals, 32 assists in his rookie year, a great campaign. Pierre-Luc Dubois ends up having none of us thought he would stick with Tortorella as coach, plays all 82 games and puts up 48 points. Danton Heinen for Boston. Now you look at the playoffs, Jake DeBrusk, both of those guys playing over 70 games and totaling more than 40 points.
Yeah. Alexander
Kerfoot. There's so many guys.
You have Kerfoot from Colorado who played a second line role in Colorado. He wasn't even with McKinnon. Yep. I mean, Sergachev, the Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman from Montreal.
Yeah. Well, that's the good thing to see is that it's not all just forwards. You've got Sergachev, Will Butcher, Ryan Pulock, who we mentioned earlier, Charlie McAvoy getting a full season under his belt. There's a few others that have made an impact here or there. We talked about Sam Girard. Once he got to play and play he did, he ended up playing 73 games once that trade went down. So some really solid guys. And again, we're just going to add to it in the offseason. Guys are going to be called up. But a number of these players were standouts in the AHL last year, guys that you could have watched and saw what they did in the minors, what they did in the AHL playoffs, and had some inkling as to what they would be able to do. Obviously not to this level. This is really, I think, a number of these guys exceeded whatever expectations you could have.
I mean, Matthew Barzal is he's so good, and he finished head and shoulders above the other rookies that played 82 games. Yeah. And it stinks that Besser got hurt, because had he not got hurt, I mean, it would have been close. It would have been close.
Well, we joke, and I think a lot of analysts talk about it, how it's turned into a young man's game. But would you have believed that eight rookies, almost nine, scored more than 20 goals this year?
No, I wouldn't. But there's also a bunch of older guys that scored more than 20 goals that I wouldn't have thought would either. It just seems to be one of those years.
That's true. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that we talked about how many crappy goalies there were this year.
That's very
go hand in hand, perhaps.
All right. So since you brought up goalies, let's move on to the Vezina Trophy, the top goalie this year. I don't think there's much question there. I think we're both going to say Pekka Rene. I don't think there's going to be any arguing.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know how much you dislike Pekka Rene.
I am one of the I've been burned by him. I've watched you draft him and be burned by him, and then it's like when I don't own him is the years that he goes off, or the years that I'm critical of him is when he goes off. So next year I'll draft him and he'll be terrible. I'm gonna make sure I draft Pekka Rinne in every league I'm in, just for the social experiment to see if he sucks because of
that. It's nice that you call him Pekka Rinne now and not Pekka Rinne anymore.
Okay. I've been watching enough of him that I've changed my pronunciation of him.
Yeah, that or Eric Young will be showing up at your house.
No, well, he can come over anytime. I just don't want him to like suplex me because of my misspellings or misstatements.
Eric shows up, rings the doorbell. Brian's like, "Hey, come on in, Eric." And next thing you know, he's DDT'd.
Yeah. Oh, the beer's in the bunker.
All right. Let's move on to the big one.
Let's go. I don't like talking about goalies. We got nothing on goalies. Pekka Rinne, good. A lot of guys, bad.
Yeah. All right. Hart Trophy.
Go for it.
Okay. This is a tough one because there are some players that we should definitely be in the running. You look at what Alexander Ovechkin did this year. Tons of shots on goal. Put up plenty of hits again. Tons of points. Tons of goals. Led the league in goals. But you look at what Evgeny Malkin did, right? When you add penalty minutes into it, Malkin finishes ahead, according to Yahoo's rankings, of Ovi because he had 87 penalty minutes. And penalty minutes were kind of tough to come by this year. But without penalty minutes, I mean, it's all about the goals and shots on goal, hits. I mean, and Ovechkin's got that. But he didn't have the most points in the NHL this year. Connor McDavid did, Brian. So when you're looking to build your fantasy team, what are you looking to build around? Are you looking to build around a guy that kind of touches every category, like a Malkin, or a guy that's elite in two categories like Ovi? Or do you want the guy that just strictly gets points in Connor McDavid?
Well, I mean, it's easy to say McDavid if you're drafting first, right? So let's take it from a mid first round standpoint. You don't have the luxury of drafting Crosby or McDavid. So let's say you have the third through the seventh picks. And we both certainly had a number of draft picks in different mock drafts and leagues where we were in that rotation. And before the season, I had the third pick in a number of drafts and mocks, and I was going with Kucherov. So it's a player like that. Malkin always seems to fall in drafts that I'm in, and I'm not sure why. And I feel like Ovechkin is drafted higher than Malkin every year.
You're right, but there is a theory behind that. Goals?
Well, and I think it's because of the goals.
And shots on goal.
It's because of the shots on goal and the benefit if you're in a PIMS league. And so that's where it is. So I think you can certainly try for the Jamie Benn, Evgeny Malkin, who else is in that kind of first round all-around game, you know what I mean? Or you can go with the Kucherov, Patrick Kane, Tyler Seguin, type thing, or you can go for the home run with someone like Ovechkin, Stamkos, who we haven't really mentioned, in players like that. So Patrick Laine this year was one of those guys. Vlad Tarasenko is another. So it's easy just to say McDavid. He's going to get a ton of points, and you're going to get both goals and assists, and have 100+ points and be happy. So that's the easy answer. If you're going to ask me next, it's probably going to be someone with Ovechkin that's going to have that ceiling of 50 goals and 300 shots on goal.
Yeah, the shots on goal is huge because it's just so much higher than almost anyone else. When you look at the elite shots on goals, guys, you're talking Ovechkin, you're talking Seguin, you're talking Burns. Evander Kane, it seems to when he plays – seems to be up there quite a bit, and lately Vladimir Tarasenko. But outside of those guys, nobody even sniffs 300 shots on goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Ovi's just so much higher than everybody else every year. Even at, what is he, 33 this year? It's
Ovechkin?
32 or 33. He's still that elite goal scorer. The demise of Ovechkin has obviously been highly overrated.
Yeah. 33 years old. Or no, 32 years old. He turned it right before the season started.
So he turns 33 next year. Okay. So
I was close. Yeah. Yep. Nope. He'll be 33 right before the year starts. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So who had the best fantasy season?
It's
God. Listen, the,
Man.
I'm going to say Ovi.
I have to go with Ovechkin, although if you gave me – how about we say our top three? I'm going to say Ovechkin, McDavid, and Malkin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, same top three. But if I'm –
because you look at Malkin's – well, you look at Malkin, 40 goals, 56 – 42 goals, 56 assists.
98 points.
38 power play points, which is just huge. And again, you have McDavid got him by, what, 10 points? But had 18 fewer power play points and had they had similar hit block shots on goal numbers. But then you get to Ovechkin, 49 goals, obviously fewer assists, but similar power play points. But then you get to the shots on goal and then you get to the hits. And I think that's what gives him the edge. I think it's close, but I think Ovechkin gets the vote over Malkin and McDavid this year.
So
and a quick shout out. If we can, to the 40 goal scorers this year. We had, what do we have, 8 of them? We had Ovechkin lead the league with 49. Patrick Laine second with 44. William Karlsson, shockingly, with 43. Malkin with 42. Eric Staal, shockingly, with 42. McDavid with 41. Anders Lee with 40. Tyler Seguin with 40, and then three players with 39, or this really would have been something, with Taylor Hall, Nikita Kucherov, and Nathan MacKinnon, all three of whom also could be fantasy MVPs, especially Taylor Hall, I think would have been in that convo with 37 power play points to go along with 39 goals and 54 assists.
All right.
And Kucherov right behind him. So go ahead. What's yours? What's your voting there?
I'm taking Ovi. I think goal scoring is the hardest thing to find in fantasy sports because it's the most elite thing there is. And Ovechkin just does it consistently more than anybody else. And he scored more goals than anybody else. I feel like you can find assists. You can find shots on goal. You can find hits. And you can find blocks off the waiver wire if you really need to in a given week. But finding goals is the hardest thing to find. So I think Ovi, with his overall play and his elite numbers and goals and shots on goal, and then you add in the 140 hits, and you're sitting pretty.
Yeah, no love, from either of us with Claude Giroux. Huh?
No, it's assists with Claude Giroux, and that's really kind of it. But you named those 40 goal scorers, Brian. Who is the biggest surprise as a 40-goal scorer, Carlson, Staal, or Anders Lee?
Carlson. Staal obviously has been a goal scorer in the past. He hasn't been a 40-goal scorer as far as my memory works.
Right? Eric Staal.
But Carlson, again, you're talking about someone who had never – no, Eric Staal did score four – or shoot –
twice.
Jesus, scored 40 twice with Carolina. Yeah.
In 06 and 09.
Yeah, the year they won the cup in 05, 06. 100 points that year too. And then once more 08, 09. So, yeah, I would say, okay, fine, Staal. If you would have told me that, I would have said, all right, he's got the pedigree. He's done it. So I'd take Staal off that list. And then I would say Anders Lee, obviously.
He had 30 before.
From where he was playing last year, over 30 goals last year and had 25 3 years ago. He was making the progress. So again, skating with Tavares, I would have said that, but Wild Bill, man, no way to see that coming.
And we all agree that the least likely to do it again next year is William Karlsson.
Yeah. Same guy. Exactly.
Listen,
exactly.
Wild Bill, since we're talking about him.
Yeah.
I just, how a player shoots at 23.4% for an entire season is beyond
every fourth shot. Every fourth shot's going in.
That's insane. It's so
having a good year, having an unbelievable year. All right, Tone. Before we wrap up our end of the year awards, we pieced together two separate teams. Now we have kind of like the all fantasy teams that we just went through, but we have an all bust team, and we have the rejuvenation machine. Hooked up to the rejuvenation machine.
I love the rejuvenation machine.
The rejuvenation machine is vital for fantasy winning as well. So, because if you can hit any of these guys, so let's do that. Those guys first. The rejuvenation machine. We just talked about Eric Staal and Claude Giroux, two guys who I 100% think should be on that team. We talked about another member of the rejuvenation machine, Dustin Brown. Do we keep him or do we put Stamkos on there because Stamkos coming off an injury and picking up with 80 points?
It's true. Stamkos seems to always be coming off an injury, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to crap on the guy, but I mean, he's had some injury issues lately. But yeah, 80 points. I mean, he's good. He's really good. And he's skating with Kucherov. Remember what I said at the beginning of the year? We both talked about Kucherov and people were worried that Stamkos was going to eat into his production.
Yeah,
I told you all, Kucherov was going to be the shooter on that line. Stamkos was going to be the facilitator.
Yeah.
Or he was going to be the, what did I call him? The
distributor.
The decoy.
Decoy. There you go.
And it worked out that way at the beginning of the year. So I love Stamkos. I still think what Dustin Brown did this year is it's so far and above what anybody could have expected that I think he gets the spot.
All right. We'll give it to him. Two defensemen that we've noted certainly down the stretch this year. And oldies have always been kind of productive guys, owned on teams, have really certainly had their highs. But I think in the second half this year, we were on them as ads.
Over
the winter and then kept going and never stopped. And you look where they're ranked at the end of the year. But Alex Edler, who we just talked about, where he ended up. And the other is Alex Goligowski. And I don't even know what to say from when I talked about him being an ad. I'd love to go back and look at the sheet or the show notes to figure out when we talked about adding him. But
I think it was December.
We end up with it was either December or January. But I mean, 12 goals on the year and only 23 assists. So, I mean, he only ended up with 35 points, but those 12 goals were massive. And I'd say the majority of those goals came after January. So really both of these guys in the second half really played like younger versions of themselves. And then in goal, we talked about it earlier, but Marc-Andre Fleury gets the nod there for, you know, he did, it was obviously helps win the cup and or wins another cup with Pittsburgh last year. Unceremoniously put on the scrap heap for Vegas to select.
You know,
what he did?
It wasn't just unceremoniously. He had to waive his no trade clause in order for him to be eligible. And he did that for Pittsburgh. And guess what?
True. Yep.
Karma, man. Yep. Karma.
Yeah, he's rewarded. So
he is rewarded big time.
Big time. Ooh. All right, Tone, give me the all bust team.
Oh, I hate doing this. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much that we're going to start things off with one of our favorite players, Boris Saad. Or
Boris Saad was sad.
Brandon Saad.
Yeah,
I mean,
rough.
He just did not gel with Chicago like he had before. And it's really too bad because I was really hoping for some big things for him again. I mean,
18 goals is not big things.
No, and he was, I believe he was Columbus's leading scorer last year. It's just shocking that he played with Chicago. But that whole Chicago team was a dumpster fire this year. So,
yeah. Well, you're talking Saad was a seventh round pick this year in some leagues. Who else was a seventh round pick this year? Taylor Hall.
Oh,
so God. Talk about a difference in production. And then that's not even to mention Giroux, Anze Kopitar, Dustin Brown, Nathan McKinnon, guys like that, that went even after the seventh round.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I mean, Saad, just you look at what he had done in Pittsburgh previously, you're like, oh, wow, he's going back. They're putting the band back
Chicago.
Together. I love this situation. High scoring Chicago team.
Not
nothing. Did I say Pittsburgh?
You said Pittsburgh.
Chicago. Sorry.
It's okay.
You know what I meant.
All right.
You know what I meant?
Next up, one of Montreal Canadiens' finest, El Capitan. Max Pacioretty. Injuries really plagued his season. He went on, I want to say, like a 12 or a 13 game goalless streak, which is a long streak for Max Pacioretty. 4 or 5 games for a goal scorer like Max is not a surprise. That's going to happen with guys that score like Max. But to go like he did and then get hurt, it was just a terrible year for him. It really, really was. It's the worst year he's had since the lockout. There's not much else to say about Pacioretty. I mean, he still put up a bunch of shots on goal, but that's it. But that whole Montreal team was a dumpster fire. So, including
it's rough to see your third round pick finish with 17 goals.
Ugh, it's the worst.
Rough.
And those 17 goals came in, I want to say, probably 30% of the games he played. So, I mean, he got hot for a while and that was it.
Yeah.
Next up, one of the rookies that Brian and I, well, at least I loved coming into the season.
Yeah.
Sebastian Aho.
Man.
That hurt. That hurt. I mean, he never really got going in Carolina. And maybe Rick Dudley can do some magic.
He did score. What did he score? 28 goals this year?
Yeah.
I think it just where he was drafted is what puts him on this team. I think the numbers were right. And maybe this is wrong that we have him on here. Maybe we're just being too hard on him. I mean,
listen,
it's almost like Cam Atkinson 2 years ago where we overdrafted him thinking he was going to come through and then he didn't. And he was still in the 20s. But then the year after, he really busted through with 30 plus goals. And it was like, oh, there's the breakout that we're expecting. So
it's not fair. You're right. He finished with 65 points. He had 49 last year as a rookie, 29 goals, 36 assists.
All right. That's being too hard on Sebastian Aho. I'm taking him off the list. I'm sorry that I put him on there.
Taking him off the list, man. It's not on the list anymore. It's got to go.
I feel bad that I put him on now.
No, it's okay because, you know, honestly.
I just feel, again, I was looking at where guys were drafted versus their final finish, and it's like, man.
There's a big difference. I mean, I was expecting a 30-goal, 70-point season. I really thought that that was the ceiling for him. Now he hit 65 points. But there was a stretch at the beginning of the year where he was – people wanted to drop him right away.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was like, oh, your pick is terrible. Well, it turned out in the end to be okay, but it was a really lackluster 65 points, I can tell you.
Yeah.
All right. From a hoe to one of his teammates, Justin Falk.
Yeah, that's – again, he did after – we talked about dropping him, and it took us a lot – to talk about dropping Justin Falk.
Well, that's because he was still shooting the puck a ton and you figured that things would come around. They just didn't.
Right. He ended up with 31 points on the year. Yeah.
Only eight goals.
Eight goals, ugly, minus 26. Again, I know we don't put a lot of stock in that, but there are leagues that count that type of stuff. But this is someone who had been coming off seasons of 37 points 2 years in a row and 49 points and 32 points the prior 2 years, 15 goals, 16 goals, 17 goals those three seasons. And two of those years hadn't even played all 82 games. So it was like kind of the sky's the limit for Justin Falk. And then this year, eight goals, 23 assists. So the fewest points he's had since his second year in the league.
Well, he shot at 3.8%, which is almost 3% lower than his career average. If he shoots his career average, you can add another four goals on there, five goals. Yeah. So,
and then he's back in the teens. Again, you'd like to see him in the 15, 20, 16, 17 range, which 17 goals was what he scored last year and what this year would have led the NHL in defensive scoring. So you can see where he was at, which was amongst the leaders in defensive goal scores, to being kind of just another guy. So hence why he's on this list.
You know, honestly, he's going to be one of my bounce back candidates for next year for sure. Okay. So
I know you're a fan. So
I am a fan. It bites me in the, you know what, sometimes. Next guy, another guy that I was a huge fan of coming into the year. I think everybody was. Oscar Klefbom. Man, what a rookie season. And then what?
Well, not his rookie year, but
no,
his breakout year. Breakout. Last year. Yeah. 38 points last year, 82 games. And again, that was kind of backloaded. That was not at the beginning of last season. That took a little time to develop, but ended up it's really down the stretch, just opening up a lot of eyes as Edmonton made that run into the playoffs last year. And he's quarterbacking that power play with McDavid and Draisaitl. They look great together. And then this year goes from 38 points to 21, 12 goals to 5, 26 assists to 16, a minus 12. Obviously, that entire team struggled. But, I mean, there's no reason for that power play to be as bad as they were.
No.
And again, Draisaitl quietly had a decent year this season. 25 goals, 45 assists for 70 points for him. His second straight 70-point campaign. But again, you look at how Klefbom was able to mesh with them or wasn't able to mesh with them, and it's really surprising. And a really massive step back for him. And you wonder next year what that's going to do. I'm not putting any stock in him next year for a bounce back, a huge bounce back. You're really going to have to show me.
Yeah. I mean, he only shot 2.5% for the season on 203 shots. That's like Torrey Krug the previous 3 years bad.
Yeah. Yeah, give me Darnell Nurse. Give me Darnell Nurse off.
Darnell Nurse, stat sheet filler. Talk about a stat sheet filler. I would rather have Darnell Nurse. He's the guy for sure.
I'll go find my offensive statistics somewhere else, and I'll take Nurse off that team, who really started to come into his own as a defensive physical player this past year. And like you said, filling the stat sheet, triple digits across the shots on goal, hits, blocks category. So huge 100%. Contributor, unlike Oscar Klefbom. All right, last position for the all bus team.
Goaltending. Now, there's two ways to go here.
And funny, we've been talking about multiples of their teammates on this bus list.
Yeah. Cam Talbot.
Yeah, Edmonton's Cam Talbot and Carolina's
Scott Darling.
Oof. I mean, those two guys, Talbot was drafted in the second round this year in most leagues.
I know.
Second or third round. And then Darling in like the fifth, sixth, seventh, somewhere in there.
Listen, in the industry league, I took Price and Talbot back to back.
That hurt. Did not pan out.
No, I still finished seventh though.
Yeah. Okay. Considering that, that's like a immediate handicap. So the fact that you could finish there with those two guys is
unbelievable.
That is pretty stunning. So good.
I look at both goaltenders. Darling did it as a backup, and he played really well for Chicago the year before.
Yeah.
He came into a Carolina team that just underachieved all around. First time as the number one guy.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what Scott Darling did to get into the NHL and get this contract. The guy paid his dues 10 times over.
Right.
I mean, he started in the lowest of low leagues and worked his way up. So good on him for not quitting, but that Carolina team around him quit and he didn't stand a chance. It seemed to snowball. Once it started with him, it never seemed to get rolling really well. The team played bad. He played bad and could never get them both going on the same night. And then you look at what Cam Talbot did the season before, winning 40-something games.
Led the league in.
Goaltenders being drafted.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this year, that whole Edmonton team folded.
Yeah.
Like a wet paper bag.
Yeah. That was – I don't even know. Were they victims of too early success where – came out and thought it would be easy this year to do the same thing they did last year. Like, oh, look what we did last year. We'll be able to do that this year. And then the entire division kind of snuck up on them. You've got Vegas now playing well and they're left like, what's going on? I'd say Talbot's the bigger bust. Darling, I just mentioned it because he was kind of the breakout candidate for everybody this year. And this spans multiple fantasy publications, multiple fantasy podcasts, multiple fantasy articles. Scott Darling was on everybody's shortlist for breakout candidate, and he did not deliver. But right. Talbot was the bigger bust because of where he was drafted, because of what he had done the year before, because of where he had finished amongst goalies the year before. And to just lay an egg like he did is just –
brutal.
That hurts more than Darling for your fantasy team. So I have to go with Talbot there.
I 100% agree. All right, Brian,
I would venture to say that Talbot could have been the biggest bust of the fantasy season.
Oh, man. That's some pretty big company right there. And I think I think you're right. Honestly,
no injury. He's not like Carey Price, who was hurt, or Pacioretty, who was hurt. He's not like any of these other guys that it was poor play. And I get that goaltending sometimes can be you're a victim of the team around you. But, I mean, that was a playoff team last year, and you contributed to it not being a playoff team this year.
Yeah.
So, it's Cam Talbot, my bust of the year.
I can't argue with that at all. So. All right. Well, Brian, I think that puts episode 126 in the books here.
All right,
good. Off-season moving.
Enjoy your DC brow.
I will. We're gonna have to get together and drink a few of them together.
The warm weather's finally here. We went from in a 4-day time span. Tone, obviously, you know this as well, but we went from being in the mid-30s with sleet to 3 days later it being in the 90s.
I know.
So it's like the switch from winter to July overnight.
My son was wearing Under Armour pants and Under Armour shirts underneath his baseball clothes to play in games on Saturday. And then on Wednesday, when he catches, he is dying of heat exhaustion because it's 90 degrees.
Unbelievable. Well, now that it's like that, we're going to have to get together for some patio beers and some golf beers.
Golf beer. Shuffleboard. We got to start playing shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard. We can play some ladder ball.
Ladder ball and a testicle toss.
it goes well always with cornhole.
Cornhole. Yep. And then everybody's favorite, horseshoes.
A game of horseshoes.
Throwing the shoes, man. Throwing the shoes. All right, folks. If you enjoy the show, all right, I'm going to give it a shot here. All right, folks, if you enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. And remember, you can find all of our shows and all of the other great ITL podcasts on the ITL homepage, inthisleague.com. And don't forget, please support our podcast by becoming a patron of the show. Visit our page to see all the great extra benefits we give to our generous donors. That's patreon.com/RotoHockeyShow. And depending on your level of support, this could include extra content and interaction with us, bonus podcasts, and exclusive Roto Hockey Show swag.
All right, folks. And as the playoffs continue and you get ready for the summer, don't forget, follow us on the Twitter at Roto Hockey Show. You can also follow Tony at T_LOC11. And you can follow me at NHL Roto. You need advice about your keeper leagues. You want to get in on mock drafts. You got questions about anything else. Feel free to hit us up. There's obviously going to be a lot of continued fantasy hockey talk as the playoffs continue, offseason, free agency, and then we're going to be rolling into the summer. So you can also shoot us some emails, NHLRotoTony@gmail.com and NHLRotoBrian@gmail.com. All right, Tony, enjoy the rest of the second round of the playoffs. We'll be back in a few weeks. Conference finals will be going on. And we're going to have way too early mock drafts.
I can't wait.